Studio 511. It's the 276th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Arnold.
No, that's Chris. You're Chris.
Yeah.
Chris. Arnold's not here tonight.
Bastard, what's his excuse?
I don't know. It's just us two flying solo. We could do it.
Yeah.
All right.
So this is only be like 20 minutes. Don't worry.
If you are watching us live, thank you so much. We very much appreciate it. Log into your YouTube account. That way you could chat along with us here in the live chat. See, we're live, pal. if you log in on there, you could ask us questions, talk shit, just say hi, fact check us, whatever. I'll see it and I'll try to involve you here as best as I can to the best of my abilities. Now, if you're not watching us live, you can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio, or you could just drop a comment right here in the old YouTube comments section. We like those. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications. That way you know when we come online, because then you'll get a little notification on your phone and say, ding, Houston Wrestling Radio, hey, come watch us. No. Yes, indeed.
Fast lane is...
And Instagram. What's the Instagram again?
Houston Wrestling Radio.
Oh, just one word.
Yeah.
Houston Wrestling Radio.
You think you'd be able to remember that?
You think you would, but I don't. But yeah, Instagrams. We do that too, apparently.
The second Fastlane went off the air, what's the first word that popped into your head?
All right.
Yeah?
Yeah. All right.
Was it better than you thought it was going to be?
No. I thought it was sufficiently good. Like, it met my expectations.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree. I think they met mine. Okay. That first hour was strong.
Nice.
I was not expecting... Machka. I was not expecting Nakamura Rusev to be as fun as it was.
That's the stuff I don't like.
Mm. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You have all night. Yep. You can nurse that.
Ah.
Okay, here, rinse it out with some of this.
No. That health food Kool-Aid stuff just
super beats.
Doesn't have like sugar. It's that stevia stuff. It's hit or miss with stevia. Hit or miss.
Sometimes. There's nothing wrong with not going full bore with the health. I saw what y'all had for dinner. That was good. As a matter of fact, that's about enough.
It was.
You could just as had that with a Coke and still been.
Well, I don't know. I had potatoes with it, so.
Y'all missed it. Chicken stuffed with pepperoni and mozzarella and spinach.
Cooked with some tomato sauce. Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, Guy Fieri over here.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what we thought about Fastlane. No. All right. So I'm sorry. Fastlane.
Nakamura and Rusev. What'd you think?
I liked it. It was I wouldn't say surprisingly good, because it's Nakamura and Rusev. Yeah, on Rusev Day, no less. So yeah. I'm checking. It was Rusev Day. So I mean it was good. I enjoyed it. I was surprised. Here's what I was surprised of. That started the show. I'm surprised it started the show. I didn't know what was going to start the show, but that was like, oh, shit, we're going to do this now? All right. But yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
What about you?
My suspicions were were confirmed. Not in a bad way, but holy shit, Rusev is over.
Oh, yeah.
Over your Royal Rumble winner that you signed from another country that you made a big deal of in your developmental for the last year. And all of a sudden, it's Rusev Day.
Yeah.
It was fun. The crowd was into it. I'll come back to that in a bit. Yes. Crowd was into it. There were moments where I was like, holy fuck, Rusev's going to pull this off. He didn't, which I didn't mind it. I didn't get buttered over it. That was a good way to start the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. How about Orton versus Babo?
That's when it started to lose me.
Really?
Yeah, but I mean, you know how I feel about Robert Roode, and you know how I feel about Orton. You know, I don't like either guy.
If they were in liquid form, they'd be right here.
Yes. Thank you. That deserves a ding.
Yeah, there I could just imagine the facial expressions you were making during that match.
You know, like, Well, you know, I mean, it was good for as as much as I could like a Bobby Roode and
a Bobby Roode
match, you know. This is as good as I could like one of his matches. Okay. And Orton, you know. And Orton. I'm sorry. I was just being a hater.
I was liking what I saw. Yeah. It had an old school, like, Southern wrestling vibe to it. The first 8 or 9 minutes with, like, the wearing each other out with the rest locks and the headlocks and stuff, okay, the waist of the rest hold and stuff. But I noticed when the crowd started chanting for Byron Saxton, it's like, yeah, this is going a little long. As soon as I heard the Byron Saxton chant, I was like, all right, please, just bring me Jinder. Give me Jinder. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Everybody else is checking out. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to check out because everybody else is checking out. Just go. And then it didn't happen. And then we kept going. And it didn't happen. And then it kept going. And it still didn't happen. And then Orton won the belt. And it still didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then after the celebration, yeah.
The downside to the outcome of the match, I think, is that, oh, God, now we got to hear how great Randy Orton is because he's a Grand Slam champ and he won the one title that he hasn't got.
I'm going to make you feel old. I don't care. He's been on the brand for 16 years.
This is true. He's been in WWE for a long, long time. I mean, this is what happens when you're the youngest ever world title winner at 20. Or was he 21 when he first?
It was 24 and something months. He surpassed somebody else. Oh, there was the beef with Brock Lesnar at the time when Brock Lesnar left. So Randy Orton beat Brock Lesnar like a couple of months as the youngest WWE heavyweight heavyweight champion.
Yeah,
WWE.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you're going to be like Tyler Bate, you know, he was 19 when he won the goddamn UK title on WWE.
He still looks like he came out the womb.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I guess that means he's going to have a lengthy-ass career. He's going to be around for a long time in the spotlight. Oh, yeah. I mean, knock on some wood right there. But, I mean, he's been around a long time. He hasn't had any major character developments since about, I don't know.
Take over Chicago? When he lost the belt?
Yeah. Probably.
His matches are still fun, but... Oh. That's the super beats coffee.
Yeah.
And he's still drinking. You are a typical wrestling fan. No matter how much you complain, you still come back the next week.
Yes. Indeed.
You complaining about the main event?
No. I like the main event.
Yeah.
In fact, that's my match of the week pick.
Damn. Blowing our load early tonight, aren't we?
Booyaka. I don't know why I threw a booyaka in there. I loved it. I love that match. Multi-man matches sometimes can be a bit of a cluster. I didn't feel like this match was too clustery. I felt that the setups for Mania were in there, and they were spotlighted well. And the feuds going into the match were in there and spotlighted well. So even though it was six guys competing for the title, I knew that there's still something going on with KO and Sammy and Shane. Like, I knew something was going on there. I mean, Ziggler, all right, there's not really – I don't really know what's happening with Ziggler, but he still has some good spots in that match.
That's all he's good for at this point, in my opinion.
That's true. I loved Cena starting the match off. AJ. And he wasn't able to pull it off. I love the fact that we got pretty much another AJ Cena one-on-one for, 5 minutes? And that was cool. I really liked it.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
That kind of encapsulates my whole opinion of the pay-per-view because a lot of the stuff on there was better than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
I think because my expectation was so median, I think it exceeded my expectation.
That sip was better than I thought it was going to be.
You're already used to it.
Yeah. I was expecting
beer. The first time you drink beer, it's like, by the time you get to the bottom, you're like,
I was expecting it to disappoint me, and it wasn't as disappointing. Just like wrestling. You keep going back. You have a different opinion every time, even though it's the same goddamn thing.
Things that make Abel go, All right. The right man won, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad they didn't do anything retardo by putting somebody else in there. But here's the thing that still loses me, and I hope this doesn't carry over the effect that the Big Show had on me before. Help me out here. What is a Dolph Ziggler? Seriously, break this down for a minute.
Okay, I could give you. Well, I'll let you get your point out, and then I'll answer your question.
We know what KO is. KO is a certified asshole. He's so good at it. Yeah, like no lube necessary. You just go right in there. The Miz is arrogant because he's been the Intercontinental Champion for so many years. Brock Lesnar is a heel right now. He's entitled because he's done so much in UFC and he's been around. He's done damage while all these youngins are still like red behind the neck. So he thinks he's entitled to certain things that he doesn't normally get. What is it, Dolph Ziggler? Like, what is his cross to bear that makes him a heel, yet we understand why he's a heel, so he's there?
Well,
what's his reason?
There's two answers out there for you. There's going to be Portia's answer in the live chat, and there's going to be my answer. Portia's answer is a little bit more succinct. And she says this, Dolph Ziggler is a sexy beast. That's what he is. Okay. My answer is he's a professional malcontent. He's the vet who should have been at the top, who never got there, who's sitting in fucking bingo halls saying, well, when I was at WWE, I did this and that. Like, putting yourself over when you didn't really get to the top of mountaintop, even though you think you did. That's what Ziggler is now. So if you're going to run with the character with him, let's call a spade. He's the guy who had untapped potential left on the fucking table. Mm-hmm. And that's who he is right now. So he's going to be kind of a gatekeeper for the mid-card. That's what I think. He's not going to be at the top of the mountain, even though he was, and he could have been, but he's not. So he's going to be a sour veteran. That's what he is. I mean, I don't want that to be true. I'm sure you don't want that to be true.
It's not even about it wanting to be true, but if you're going to do the same shtick that so many other people say, you're the best in the world, but you can't even win a match on, like, at some point, all that is like, so there has to be more to that. And that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, where's the hook? Between now and Mania, I need to have a hook. Tell me why he's on this roster. Tell me why I'm supposed to have a fuck to give in between these hands for me to give to him.
Well, did you watch SmackDown?
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of watched SmackDown too, because I had it on while I was trying to cook our delicious dinner that we had tonight. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was Ziggler not on the show?
Mm-mm, I don't remember.
He wasn't? Everyone's shaking their heads over there. It's Porsche on the couch.
Yeah. No, he's too busy selling Cricket Wireless.
Is that?
I'm surprised. I was thinking the Sexy Beast answer was going to come out of your mouth.
Well.
But that regardless, everyone else, Ziggler had spots, of course. But I think whoever booked that match made a good job to show that everyone was relevant there. Okay. Everyone had a reason to be there. Everyone was just as threatening. I don't know
who. Even Corbin.
He hit this deep six on somebody so vicious, I thought he drove him 3 feet through the ground.
And this is a goddamn Zangief move.
Yes!
Cool.
Mm-hmm. So everybody,
who did he do that to? Did he do that to AJ? I don't even fucking remember.
AJ or Cena, somebody. Yeah, and you're like, whoa, all right. That reminded me, I shouldn't talk shit about that guy.
Yeah,
he'll find me. Yeah, but yeah, the main event was really good. And that beautiful graphic of AJ versus Nakamura.
Oh,
my befluttered heart. Can't wait. Yep, that's worth the price of admission.
Yeah,
right there. So, but yeah, that was that's a good way to end the show. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of the middle?
Middle.
Two women's matches.
Charlotte versus goddamn, who's Charlotte? Ruby Riott. That's right. Yeah, Charlotte versus Ruby. I was pleasantly surprised with the match. I thought it was pretty good. Nothing that like, oh my god, match of the week or anything, but that was one of those matches where it met or surpassed my expectations.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, the problem is that even though it was a nice little match, it is a match on the road to WrestleMania. What the hell happens to Ruby Riott after this? Was Ruby Riott just TV program for Charlotte. I guess she was. I mean, you know, out came Asuka immediately after, points at the sign, says, oh, I guess she made her decision.
Konnichiwa.
There you go. All right, so forget about Ruby.
Well, that's what the Mae Young, the Fabulous Moolah trafficking classic rumble dealy is for, right? Is that what we're remembering her for? That she was undefeated for 25 years, or that she like went stiff on a bunch of girls, or that she like profited off of them, or what's the take of the night? Like, what are we like?
I mean, I guess it's kind of easy to be undefeated for 25 years, so you only defend your title once a year, and the person you're defending it against is somebody that you just pimped out to all the boys in the back.
Mm-hmm. Her cardio went to shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, that's what you're gonna do with all these girls in the meantime.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
I like that it's open to NXT too.
That is true. That's kind of cool. The concept is cool. Naming it after Moolah. I don't know. Maybe not in this day and age. Like, before all the stuff came out about Moolah and during the Attitude Era, like, if you did something like that, I'd be like, oh, okay. But, like, after the Attitude Era, and after we found out how she was, and there was all these exposés and rumors and this and that coming out.
Time's up.
Now it's like, and Time's Up and Me Too.
And even then, Time's Up, Me Too, it doesn't matter it doesn't matter what kind of hardware you got below the equator. If you're doing bad shit to women, you're going to equally.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So who would you have named the Rumble, the Battle Royal after?
Fuck, man. I don't know.
Wendy Richter?
No. Fucking Alendra Blaze, I guess.
The chick that defected to Nitro and dropped the trash can and dropped the title trash can?
I don't know. And you can't really do a memorial Battle Royal for her because she's not dead. I guess China. You know, for China. But WWE ain't even going to put her in the goddamn fucking, what you call it, Hall of Fame. So, I don't know. I mean, you don't even have to name it a so-and-so memorial. You could just say, hey, we're going to have a women's battle royal too. Oh, why not? Is that so hard? All right. Robert, thank you for joining us, sir. Very much appreciate you watching and tuning in and commenting along here. Let's see what he had to say. He said, hopefully he won't be the next Shane Douglas. I guess he's talking about Ziggler. I think he already is. He is Shane Douglas. Shane Douglas is a better Shane Douglas than Ziggler right now.
No, Shane Douglas is a better Ziggler than Ziggler is right now.
Okay, that's fair. he says he needs to be a nerdy bro version of the New Day with Ryder and Hawkins. Okay.
Who gave Dolph Ziggler the idea or the permission to braid his hair like a spine? Because that looked
he's
gross.
Done that before, though, and I've seen that. And I didn't mind it that much. It was a different look. It was something different for him. It was something different. I don't mind. Okay. There's a really good Reddit piece floating around about Moolah and her crimes. It should have been named after Sherry. Oh, Sherry or Miss Elizabeth? Wait, is Miss Elizabeth dead?
Yes. She's dead, bro.
Okay. There you go, Miss Elizabeth.
That spiraled Lex Luger's depression and almost suicidal thoughts.
Yeah. And then let's see here. Daniel. Hey, Daniel, what's up? Thank you for joining us. Thank you for watching. Tell your friends. He says, could have named it after Bull Nakano. Maybe Bull Nakano. Because that'd be more if you were like doing a Joshi tournament in Japan. Somebody
that's
in Japan could name something.
A hardcore fan would know. Yeah. Beverly's Moolah has been on TV off and on, even without wrestling. She's been on television even until she passed away. Just like Mae Young. They always found a skit for Mae Young or Fabulous Moolah backstage or in the ring.
And Bull Nakano's alive. Thank you, Porsche. Porsche sitting on the couch with the fact-checking. Bull Nakano's alive.
Man, your match of the week might be, or at least match of the night, or match of the week might be that six-way.
Yeah.
But, dude, the story that was being told in New Day versus the Usos. And the finish made it even better. I fucking love that entire piece, man. They were doing each other's finishers, and I don't know if it's like respect or like shade, like a combination of both. But it was so fucking well done.
It was. It was really good.
And then some of them even, I felt like everybody watched like 15 minutes of Devon Dudley selling shit because everybody was twitching or like they were playing dead. It's like, I swear, somebody came out with I forget, one of the Usos had a toe tag. I was like, God damn, y'all are going a little overboard here. Good Lord, that was such a well-done segment. And everybody, you can see Giovanni's like, oh fuck. Especially when they started really using the hammers. It's like,
okay, oh, hold man. On. That's where I gotta pause you there for a second.
Do it. Do it.
After the pay-per-view, I mean, well, while this was going on, I turned to Porsche and I said, that gimmick for the hammer, it's dead.
Why?
The hammer gimmick's dead. It's supposed to be this big fucking hammer that's like as big as their fucking head. And when they went to go swing it, and whoever it was rolled out the way and it hit the steel steps, instead of like leaving a big dent and making this sound like it was like a cinder block or fucking metal or something, it went thud, like it was fucking styrofoam underneath. When they were trying to carry it, when they think about it, they try to carry it and try to flex their muscle like they're tough. But during that segment, when they're running around doing stuff, and they start, you know, they would just drop it and it would fall and bounce. Or they were just like, oh, you know, like when they're thinking about it and they pick it up like it has weight, oh my God. But then when they're not thinking about it, oh, let me just grab this damn thing and like pick it up and like it doesn't like, have any weight like to molier. It. Yeah. Like, instead of going, they just do this. All right, let's go. You know, so it's like
whoever holds the hammer possesses the power of the bludgeoning.
It was so fucking obvious that hammer is like super fucking gimmicked. So I mean, dude, I don't know if I can suspend my disbelief enough.
The part that brought me back, if okay. I had any doubts like that, was SmackDown continuing okay. the story.
But they did one that too Uso, on SmackDown. I
one
saw
Uso
it on SmackDown.
Versus one New Day. And I think it was one of the Bludgeon Brothers actually swung at the chair and you heard the sound of the chair. At least you heard a sound.
It was a sound. Yeah, it was a sound of like PVC pipe hitting a chair.
These are gimmicks, dude.
I know it's a gimmick, but it's a lame gimmick. Triple H was out there with the actual sledgehammer, but he never really hit you with it. Or if he did,
because it was gimmicked.
I'm telling you though, like if you're gonna have a gimmick of this badass fucking hammer, use it and do something where it's like, oh shit, that thing is legit. So if you really did hit somebody, and then when you're gonna hit a person, hit them with the gimmicked one. Don't hit them with the real one, but use the real one to establish the gimmick.
But even then, you would have in the moment you're looking at last Sunday, and at that moment you would have known it anyway.
This was in the moment. In the moment, as I was watching it, I was like, yeah, that hammer's fake as shit.
So if the 6 weeks before this, if the Bludgeon Brothers had legit hammers,
yes.
And then you saw this, you would not have the same opinion that, oh man, what happened? Why aren't they bringing real hammers? Because this one's on the tape.
If they treated it like that, like, dude, you gotta protect your fucking gimmick, man. And they're not protecting their gimmick with these damn things. When they're posing with it, they're acting like it has weight. But then they get all willy-nilly with it. Like on SmackDown, they put the hammers down on the middle of the entryway. And then that's when the Jimmy and Big E come running out. When Jimmy and Big E came running out, Luke kind of went to go meet him. When Luke met one of them, his knee barely grazed the side of it. Barely. And what did the thing do? And rolled away. That's what happened when it barely grazed it. A strong breeze blew that goddamn hammer over. And I'm not talking about Tyler Breeze. He's not a strong breeze. He's a quick breeze. Oh man, I don't know what the fuck happened here on the live chat. There's a lot of stuff in the live chat during that whole exchange there. I'm gonna see if I can catch up. Say something stupid.
So what are we doing with Shane and
don't ask me a question, say something so I can read the chat.
Oh.
They asked
you.
I'm sorry. What is your question, sir? Fuck the live chat. What is your question? No, I'm here for
read,
you.
Just read.
I'm here for you.
Just read. Just pick a spot and go.
All right. that particular Uso can't sell an arm injury. What the fuck? Oh, shit. My arm's injured. I forgot. Yes. That's the kind of shit I'm talking about.
I was in and out of consciousness, so I don't remember all of that. I just remember the backstage promo where they like put their shit aside to try to even up the bludgeoning. And I was like, oh, man. I wish they could have saved that for like next week.
You got to sell weapons too. Hey, yeah, see, there you go. Randy sitting on the couch. Dango is still going back to the memorial stuff. For memorial, yeah, but I'm more concerned with the fact that it's more pointless. Let's get everyone on the card filler bullshit. They don't need it.
Yeah. Do you want to get to that right now then?
Okay, go for it. Yeah.
Because we have what could potentially be a triple threat match for the U.S. title.
Okay.
Rude, Orton, Jinder. We already have a triple threat on the Raw side for the Intercontinental title. Yes. Finn, Seth, and Miz.
Yes.
It
looks like we're going to have a three-way with the tags. Usos, New Day, yes. Legends.
So yeah. Already, we're looking at what could possibly be 13 matches on this card. Three of them are already multi-man, and we still have 3 weeks build.
Yeah.
Is this too much?
Yes. Man, like I get it. I get it that everyone deserves a nice pat on the ass at the end of the fiscal year or the wrestling year, whatever you want to call it. At the end of the year, I know it's the middle of fucking April. Everyone needs that pat on the ass from the company that, like, demands that they be on the road 200 plus days a year and all that. That, like, hey, you know what? The biggest payday and the biggest thing that you could do is be on WrestleMania.
Not so just that. If you're not on the main card, you're not getting a cut of that pay-per-view.
Well, that's true, too.
So pre-show people aren't getting that payday.
Yeah, that's true, too. But, I mean, I get it that, like, everything building around Mania nowadays in the last, like, I don't know, 5, maybe 10 years, maybe even a little bit longer, is you got to get on the card, you know? And I feel like this year in particular, even more so than in years past, they're putting all these multi-person matches on. And it does kind of feel like just for the sake of, you know, getting somebody on the card. But at the same time, I kind of feel like I get why the workers would feel that way. But does that necessarily mean that production and behind the scenes and booking should acquiesce to that? I don't know, man. Like, it's kind of a catch-22. As far as me being a fan, if I see the same thing over and over and over, I'm going to be like, this is stupid. You know, instead of it being WrestleMania, it could be Multimania, like another gimmicked-ass pay-per-view where every other match, like Hell in a Cell, where we have 3 Hell in a Cell matches, you know, it was like, oh, this is Multimania, where you have multiple multi-man matches. But, man, it's hard to sort out my feelings on that because I feel one way about it and the other. But I do want to say something about this, and this is kind of jumping ahead to Raw
a little bit. Go for it.
When The Miz was out there doing his Miz TV, he called out Seth and Finn, and then he kind of started talking bad about the fact that he's not defending his title in a one-on-one situation, and that, oh, this is a multi-person match, and this isn't fair, this and that, whatever, whatever. And he was, like, burying the concept of a three-way match. And I'm like, fool, why are you burying concepts of three-way matches, saying that one-on-one matches are a lot better? One-on-one matches are a lot better for WrestleMania when you're in a three-way match. And not only you, but on SmackDown, you also have a U.S. title that's a multi-person match. You have another match on the card that's a multi-person match, you know, with the tags and all that. It's like, dude, don't fucking bury your production and your booking in the back on camera out front and just shit all over. Like, what I heard when Miz was out there saying all that was, hey, the matches on the WrestleMania card that are multi-person matches are gonna fucking suck because multi-man matches suck. So my match doesn't fucking matter. The U.S. title match doesn't fucking matter. The tag team title match, that doesn't fucking matter. You're just gonna buy it for the one-on-one matches, and that's what I should be in, and that's what you should be buying it for me. Like, that's kind of how I read it.
That's interesting. I read the Miz promo completely different.
Okay, go for it.
The Miz being arrogant. The Miz trying to weasel his way out of shit so that he can stay with the title. I would like to see the Miz try to petition to have Finn versus Seth open the pay-per-view.
Okay.
And the winner fights the Miz because he's been the champion on Raw. Literally on those same promos calling out while Brock is gone. While there's no Universal Champion on television, I'm holding down this show. Mm-hmm. I'm the reason Fox wants this brand. I'm the reason why we're watching WrestleMania. I need to have a match. Chance of winning.
No.
So that I read that as him trying to weasel his way out of this and then trying to get them to do what they want. I'm surprised they gave that shit away for free again on Raw.
That is true.
They could have milked that, man.
Porsche sitting on the couch in the live chat says, and she actually told me this when I brought it up during Raw. She said, Miz is a heel. You as a viewer should take whatever the Miz says as opposite day. You know, remember opposite day at school? You know, that's how you should take it. So I'm like, okay. And I get it that you're saying that he's trying to weasel his way out of it too. So I don't know. But I just kind of felt like old school heel tactics are don't bury your opponent, but just make yourself to be better and smarter. Don't bury other stuff on the card. Just make yourself be better and smarter, even though you do it in bad ways. Mm-hmm. But, and I don't know, man.
I think the Miz gets the exception because that's part of his character.
Okay. That's fair.
If it was anyone else, I would probably be in that same boat that you are. But I think the Miz has done this more than enough that it would be odd if it didn't come out of the Miz.
So are you and Porsche telling me I need to eat an L on this one?
You know what? I'm saying that wrestling
fans. Because I'm willing to. She's throwing up the L. It's off camera.
I'm gonna say that wrestling fans can't talk shit about WrestleMania being 5 hours long and then raving.
That's my L.
And then raving about how good Wrestle Kingdom is.
When Wrestle forever.
Kingdom 6.5 hours long, half of their matches are at least going, dim sum.
You don't have to worry about a time zone difference when it comes to Wrestle Kingdom because it's on all fucking day.
Actually, all night. All morning. Fucking morning. Shit. Yeah. I'm a fan of quality over quantity, but if the quality is just as good as the quantity, I might be able to fucking take some Red Bulls, maybe. Because I remember how fucking long WrestleMania was last year. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I was out of shape.
Okay.
At least now I'm getting there.
This is reaching into the Wayback Machine, so let me know if you know anything about this, okay? Daniel says this in the live chat. Vince made Ricky the Dragon Steamboat drop the IC title as a penalty to go watch his son be born. Ironic that The Miz is about to have a kid and he's the IC champ beginning to start treatment. Do you recall any of that about Ricky Steamboat going on? I don't recall that.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's reaching into the Wayback Machine.
I'm wide enough tonight. I'm going to channel my inner Travis.
Yeah. That's a Travis question. Professor.
Travis question.
Travis remembers that kind of shit.
Yeah. So we went over Fastlane.
Yeah.
After SmackDown, or what you remember of SmackDown. Is there any takeaways from SmackDown Live?
Yeah.
AJ versus Rusev, Carmella actually putting up a fight. Doing with Sammy and Kevin and Shane now. Shane's going to go bye-bye.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, hold on a minute, playa. We still not done with you. And they beat the hell out of him.
All right. Here's something that amused me, or it was me amusing myself. I thought that SmackDown was the night of Sadie Hawkins promos. The champs were doing the challengers promos for them. Charlotte was out there doing all the talking for Asuka, and AJ pretty much did all the talking for Shinsuke. Now I understand why, because both of them, their English isn't all that great, and they still did pull off some, you know, bits of promos themselves, talking about Asuka and Shinsuke. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of weird to me that it's like you're going to do the exact same formula for both of your champions on the same show. It's like, oh man, I don't know. And that kind of goes back to the thing that we were talking about, multi-man matches. You know, if I, as a viewer, see the same thing, the same formula, you know, more than once in a show, I'm going to be like, oh, well, this is boring, you know? So, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, we saw that booking twice, and that booking's kind of awkward. Here's what I would have them rather do with one of the two. Like, a plan for one, a plan for the other. And I'm talking about Asuka and Shinsuke.
Go for it.
One of them needs a separate mouthpiece. And we've talked about this before. Why doesn't they get Heyman for one of them? Okay, let's go that route. A mouthpiece for one, for Heyman. Sure. But I think the other one, let's go for Asuka instead of Shinsuke. Shinsuke, you'll get Heyman. Asuka, why don't you just have her come out and cut promos in Japanese? Just have her, just give her the microphone, let her say whatever the fuck she wants to say in Japanese. I won't fucking understand it. I won't. But the people, every time they show the Russian, the Russian announcers and the Portuguese announcers and the this language and that language announcers, they don't understand what the fucking Americans are saying in English in their promos. So I'm sure they have translators like over the headsets or on the actual like subtitles or something like that. Let us fucking eat that for once. You know, let's fucking flip that coin. Why can't we do that? So that we could get badass storytelling. Yeah, sure, it might be in a different language, but yeah, let's see some badass storytelling. Let Asuka out there with a live mic and let her say whatever the fuck she wants to say, and then have Corey say, well, my Japanese is a little rusty, but I think what she said was this. Like, oh,
or just
okay.
Make it up. I think she's pissed.
Or just make it up.
I think she's pissed. You,
yeah,
being
me.
Hispanic,
yes.
Know damn well that words in your native tongue come across a lot more threatening
that is very
than
true.
The language here on earth.
That's true. There's
nothing. I didn't have as much sympathy for Asuka or as much fear of Asuka as I did on Raw when Asuka in Japanese was yelling at fucking at the high school girls, Alexa and Nikki's like, I'm gonna beat your ass in Japanese. Yeah. Just okay. Let Asuka run it. Just especially her. Man, even when she's talking like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, because I know that both Shinsuke and Asuka, they could pull off promos in their own native tongue, and it looks like they're saying badass shit. I don't know what the fuck they're saying because I don't speak Japanese, but like the way they're emoting and their body language and their gesturing when they're saying whatever they're saying, it's like oh shit, I don't know what he said, but he said something, you know.
You know these new production ideas that they're doing on television, right?
Yeah.
Like Shinsuke does this whole like 30-minute, like 10-minute promo in Japanese, and then in parentheses, they just show the subtitle, he not happy.
Or, I mean, okay, yeah, that's silly. But they're doing that right now with fucking Braun. I dropped the piano. It says down at the bottom. I'll meet him at WrestleMania. Then it'll show WrestleMania, the logo. Why can't you do that shit with Asuka? You know, put him.
Or make it even better. For Japanese. And we're like,
just throw up a bunch of fucking kanji up there. And like, we have no idea what the fuck is going on. But I'm entertained.
It's like, let me break out this Google Translate real quick. Oh, shit. Okay, so let's just get into Raw. Fastlane's over with.
Oh, hold on. Uh-oh. Every time they talk about Asuka going down, I want to yell, she took an ass-kicking from Minoru Suzuki, you morons. She did. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
That shit was brutal. And she came out on the other end of it. That was, like, uncomfortable to watch. Oh, man. That was brutal. It gives me the willies just thinking about it.
Here, I thought you liked it rough. Fastlane's over.
God damn it, Chris.
Fastlane's over. It's officially the road to WrestleMania. Oh, no.
Robert Medlin.
Robert, stop interrupting my segues.
Robert said, I'm pretty sure Rondo is going to need a mouthpiece. That's wrong, man. That's
depends
right.
On what connotation he means when he says Rondo needs a mouthpiece.
Are
we talking promos or are we talking something else?
He's talking promos. We're talking about promos.
You sure? Because
I'm
sure. Asuka, mouthpiece?
God. Let's move on, please.
The road to WrestleMania started Monday on Raw.
Okay.
Fastlane's officially over. No more right. Pay-per-view, no more B-shows, no more bullshit. We're like right there, 4 weeks away. 4 weeks away from WrestleMania. Raw hit a home run to me, man.
Think so?
Holy shit. Everything on that show, I was like, uh-oh, okay, here we go. Oh, okay. Here we go. Oh, Cena is going to challenge the Undertaker. Okay. First word that popped into your head. I'm going to challenge the Undertaker.
You want to know?
That we have a podcast. We're asking each other's opinion.
I took off my shirt and threw it on the ground in anger.
Of course. You don't like the Undertaker. You should have retired 45 years ago.
Yes. I don't want to see that as a match. I don't want to see Undertaker versus John Cena.
You don't want to see badass Undertaker against Cena?
I don't care which Undertaker it is. I don't want to see Undertaker versus Cena.
You don't
want to
see Purple Gloves Undertaker against Cena?
No, I don't want to see Phantom of the Opera Undertaker. I don't want to see fake Undertaker.
Faker Taker.
I don't want to see Kane versus... Like, God damn it. I don't want to see Isaac Yankum versus John Cena. Like, I don't want to see any fucking iteration of Cena versus Taker. And there's multiple reasons why. I'll throw this reason at you. What does Undertaker have to gain from beating Cena?
Not a goddamn thing.
What does Cena have to gain from beating the Undertaker?
Nothing.
Then why the fuck are people clamoring for this matchup?
Because apparently Raw wants to have the bigger dream match than SmackDown. Oh, apparently he's not going to want to stop. Dude,
it's not even like, it's not even that much of a dream
match. Here's the problem. After The Undertaker lost the streak, his appeal to wrestle at WrestleMania dropped significantly.
Yes, it did.
Significantly.
Yes.
If this was Cena 5 years ago.
Yes.
Trying to break The Undertaker streak. That should have ended the fucking show. Even non-title. That should have fucking ended the show.
If this was 19-0 versus Cena, then I would have been like, oh, are we going to get 20-0 or are we going to get 19-1?
Yeah.
Holy fuck. That, and I never bet against Cena.
And you know what?
Undertaker at Mania. You know, holy shit.
You know what would have happened? If Cena would have actually ended the streak, you would never have a babyface Cena by the fans ever.
True.
Not one. Even the four-year-olds that don't even know how to pronounce Undertaker would boo Cena because he ended the Undertaker streak.
Yeah.
So now that's off the table. So this is like just a fantasy matchup that's happened.
If Cena beats the Undertaker, he's not one guy to ever beat the Undertaker at Mania. He's not even two guys to beat the Undertaker. He's going to be the third to beat the Undertaker at Mania. Like, it doesn't mean shit anymore.
But
and if you're just saying, well, it still means something to beat the Undertaker, it doesn't matter where. No, that's not true. Because everything else, aside from WrestleMania, everything else, Undertaker lost just as much as anybody else. In fact, he only held the title, like, three times? Or was it four? Something like that. Like, he wasn't like Cena 16, Randy Orton 15, Triple
five.
H. Like,
I want to say five.
It wasn't even double digits. Like, yes, he was a great character. Yes, he was a fucking awesome character. He brought a lot of eyeballs to the fucking company. But he wasn't like known as one of the all-time greats because of what he would do necessarily in the ring. What he was known for was the fact that he had this fucking menacing look. This interesting gimmick, the pyro, the lights, the power to control, and like weird ass storylines. But it wasn't that he was a technical marvel in the ring or that he was amazing, you know, putting on classic matches with everybody. Yeah, sure, he has those classics with Shawn Michaels, but is that more of Shawn? And is that more of the streak? Like, this isn't about the streak anymore at all. This is like if you're fighting the Undertaker and the streak is not an issue, he could lose any day. He's lost to Edge. He's lost to Jeff Hardy. He's lost to Batista. He's lost to fucking everybody.
Yeah. But you're looking at the wrong side of the coin.
Okay.
This is Cena's way to actually perform on the card. That's the whole point.
That's why I said there was multiple reasons why I didn't like this. Here's another reason. When Cena was out there and he was talking about, I'm just going to enjoy the show as a fan.
And I fucking loved it. I was like, all right.
I did too. I fucking loved it. I was expecting him to say, I'm going to be the host of this year's WrestleMania. And the New Day did a good job last year. I was kind of iffy about this whole host of WrestleMania position or whatever, but fine. But it kind of, the way Cena was playing it, it kind of opened my eyes to, fuck, man, this is a good way to have your biggest moneymaker on the card without him taking the spot from somebody else that could, you know, wrestle and do something, but still have him be prominent so the casuals will tune in and watch. And he could be in multiple different segments. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win for everybody. He's out there chumming it up with some fans. He's over by the merch table. He's backstage with legends that just happen
interview
to pop
a
up.
Wrestler before the match just to see the awkwardness.
Have him fucking interview AJ. Holy shit. Hey, AJ, I know you're about to go there against Shinsuke, and I know it could have been me instead of you, but you know what? Tonight it's all about you. You're the champ. What are you going to do against Shinsuke? Fuck, that would have been riveting. That would have been great. But now.
But even now. Cena tried to get his match by winning at Elimination Chamber. Didn't happen. Tried to get his match at WrestleMania by trying to win the title at Fastlane. That didn't happen. Technically, there's still no fucking guarantee The Undertaker's taking this match.
That's true. This could be another bait and switch.
And that's the other thing I'm hopeful for. That I've said this before. If Cena's story is driven that he needs a match till Mania, the biggest payoff possible would be waiting till the week of WrestleMania. The go-home Raw for Cena. Like, I want to see Cena with, like, slit wrists and a bottle in his hand going, fuck, man. What the hell? Whose dick do I got to suck to get a match at Mania? The week of Mania finally puts the band-aids on. It's like, yay, I'm going to have someone to squash. But already, like, it's the first night after Fastlane. We're already building the mania. And you're already going to, like, nip his crux in the bud of, oh, yeah, I'm looking for a match. Oh, wait, by the way, I found it. Great, I have 3 weeks to live. Like, come on.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, I don't care if it's in Dallas and Taker's backyard. I don't want him to show up. I want Cena to be like, okay, I called him out on television. I walked around every cemetery. I'm looking at the moon and speaking blood languages. What do I have to do? Like, what do I got to do to get Taker?
That's a good thing. If we actually don't get Taker, and this is just another red herring, I don't think it is, because it's the second time they've mentioned it during WrestleMania season. It's kind of like Bloody Mary. You mentioned it three times and he just appears.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah. So it's probably going to happen. But if it doesn't, I like that story, because what the fuck's going to happen with Cena? This is what I was saying last week. The descent into madness for John Cena. He may not turn heel, but there's a chance. And that's got me interested. If you make me not think about Cena turning heel, but just turning different or turning interesting, then I'm fucking interested.
With that, with all your hatred of The Undertaker being said, as soon as he made the challenge and explained himself why he made the challenge, to me,
okay,
that's made Cena the most interesting he's been in at least 5 years.
Oh, at least dude. 5 years? More interesting than the U.S. Open challenges?
Dude, did you hear the words that came out of his mouth? It's like, yeah. Dude, I lose. I come back the next day. I get back to it. I get back in the grind. I keep going. I never give up.
Yeah.
Undertaker loses at WrestleMania, and he cries. He sticks his head in the sand like a fucking ostrich. Dude, that, man, the match is going to be shit. But if they announce it next week, then these next 3 weeks of build, if they go with it, I'm invested in John Cena.
Robert Medlin says something interesting in the live chat.
God damn it. Just come over and be the third man.
I know, right?
Shit, dude. You don't sell records anyway.
He says, what if this is a loser leaves WWE match? Like a retirement match.
We had that last year.
Thank you. You took the words right out of my mouth. That's what we de facto had last year. It wasn't official. They didn't say, hey, this is what it is.
Or did they retire the character? Last year, Reigns beat him. He leaves a trench coat and the jacket in the ring.
And a hat.
He showed up for Raw 25. He wasn't wearing the trench coat. He wasn't wearing the hat.
That's true.
So what if we do get badass
with Kid Rock doing his music? Okay, I mean, that's cool. I mean...
But even then, people that are wanting Undertaker versus Cena, we got badass Taker versus Cena. That's how Taker gave Cena his break, like 15 years ago.
What if we get American Badass versus Dr. Orthogonomics? Oh, no.
That's already on the network, bro.
Yeah, I know. No. Juan, what's up, man? Welcome. Thank you for
Took you long in. Enough, Juan.
Yeah, he's late today.
Get the red out.
Hey. But yeah. Thanks for joining us. Right, he says hi to us, and he says hi to Porsche. So, yes, thank you.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look there.
Is there something we don't know? Mm-hmm. She's jiggling over there. You must have pushed the right button.
Orale. He goes, I want Cena to get left out of WrestleMania. And since he's a free agent, he should crash NXT TakeOver and do an angle with the Velveteen Dream.
What? How do we get to fucking Velveteen?
That's what he wants to see Cena do. Cena go over there and work a...
I thought, man, what did Velveteen do to you? Velveteen hasn't even reached the glass ceiling yet. You already want to break him back down to earth. Come on, dude. No wonder you showed up late. Come back tomorrow. God damn.
Oh, and Robert Medlid says that there's tons of new Ghost albums for you to go over there and buy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you got my attention.
Yeah. Robert. Can we get your record store to be a sponsor?
Right. 5 weeks.
Great.
So Cena challenging Taker. What else do you remember from Raw?
Well, we already talked about The Miz. I want to talk about my segment of the week.
Oh.
All right.
Is it what I think it is?
I think it is.
Is it?
It is what I think it is. Yes. It's Braun. Holy fuck.
It wasn't what I thought it was.
Really? Oh, all right. That makes it even more interesting.
No, I'm going to make it easier for you.
Okay.
I expect that every week. So that's already like the new norm. Okay. Like Braun's got to like tip over a stadium for me to be like, holy shit, the segment of the week is Braun mass suiciding everyone in fucking Phoenix. Like, yeah, Braun kills people. Like, a newsflash?
Well, okay. Here's why it's kind of a newsflash.
Here.
Okay.
Catch right. these hands.
Thank you. Here's why it was kind of a newsflash. Because I wasn't expecting him at all to be involved with the tag teams at all. Like, that wasn't anywhere near my radar. If you would have asked me 10 different times here on this show, what are they going to do with Braun at Mania?
What are they going to do with Braun at Mania?
I don't know, but it's not going to have anything to do with the bar or the tag teams. Like, that's what I would have told you. Like, that wasn't anywhere near an idea in my brain at all. So it's like, all right, we're going to have this battle royal between tag teams. Okay, whatever. This storyline's kind of weird. But, yeah, who the hell else that has the bar not gone through? Like, fine.
Can I make it better for you?
Well, no, because it's the best. Because I already said that I love this segment.
You sure?
Yeah, I fucking loved it. Because when Braun went out there, I was like, Braun's not a tag team? Wait, what?
Braun's not a tag team.
And he was like,
damn, we should have titled that episode.
That's that should have been our title. Yeah. We can still edit
our creativity,
right?
Yeah.
Right, so, yeah, Braun walks in there. All the tag teams are looking at him like, what the fuck are you doing here, bro? This isn't your division. And then he just looks at the ropes.
Swingers don't show up alone, bro. You need a date.
Ring the bell. Like, okay. And the ref's like, yes, sir. And like, nobody knew how to make heads or tail of it. And I love the way how cool on the mic at the commentator table. I loved when after Braun fucking won it, the way the bar just kind of sold it when they just stood up and had these dumbfounded looks on their face. That was all fucking gold. And the fact that Braun did not immediately squash everybody. That was the thing that made it even a little bit better, because it gave me not only the swerve of him being involved in it,
but also, was the one that almost threatened to like knock him down. It was giving him Titus? Some kicks. No, it was Gallows.
Gallows.
Anderson.
Yeah.
Anderson was super kicking him in the mouth. I was like, holy crap, he brought him on one knee.
When everybody
got killed.
When everybody ganged up on him, and I was like, oh, that's fucking brilliant. That's smart. I'm like, okay, so yeah, that's not going to be his role to WrestleMania. That was fun, but they're not really going to give him the tag team spot. They all try to throw him out, and then the Revival is like, hey, now's our chance to be dicks. And, and they went and did their dick stuff, and that cost the rest of the tag team division. And they're like, oh, fuck, Braun's actually going to win this. But then, no, there was another fucking wrinkle in there. On the outside, when they finally, like, Braun went through the second rope or whatever, and they're like, he was outside, and it's like, all right, he's kind of laid out for the rest of the match, and probably too stupid to get back in the ring. That's how they're going to get away with it. No! He got his ass back in the ring and then eliminated everybody. So it was like, up, down, up, down, up, down for me. That's why I love it.
Can I make it better for you?
Yes. Now you can make it better, sir. Go for it.
Kurt's going to have that father-son conversation with Braun. Sir, sir, I'm not sure if you understand how this works, but you need two people to be a tag team. Due, dos. So next week, Akira Tozawa starts tugging on him. Konnichiwa, Astromo-san. Can I be partner? And Braun kills him. And then next week, we get Alexa Bliss, his partner from Mixed Match Challenge.
Oh, well
then. I was like, hey, buddy, you know, you've been wanting to, you know, get it on. How about we take titles? And Braun's like, nah. The week of Mania, we get the reveal. Cesaro and Sheamus, the bar, teaming up against Braun Strowman and his bandmate, Elias.
There you go.
By default, because Braun needs a body there.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking there. If you're going to go the route of making him get a tag team partner, I was thinking, why not Elias? Juan, in the live chat, Braun drags Elias' ass out there as a partner. Yeah,
I'm not through with you.
Yeah, you're gonna help me against your will. Damn it! Yeah.
That's like, his bit. That's Elias's moment. He performs at WrestleMania, and Braun's got the fucking face.
And let Braun do all the work.
Oh yes!
And then he's gonna take so much credit.
He's gonna take both the belts.
Yeah,
he's gonna take both the belts.
He's gonna sing about being the tag team champion and all this and that when Braun's doing the fucking work. Now that's one of two ways that they could go, and that has me very interested. If they make somebody be his tag team partner and that's how they go, I'm 100% on board. But I'm also 100% on board if he just doesn't find a partner, one man army, and then kills the fucking bar one on two, has the tag team title for like 6 months because he's defending it against the Revival, the fucking New Day, the Rhino and Heath Slater. Like every fucking pay-per-view, he has a new tag team that's an established tag team that he killed every fucking month.
And then he drops the belts at SummerSlam to the Authors of Pain.
Oh my God.
For Wakanda. Yeah, I'm telling you.
There's so much interestingness that could come out of this storyline. Why are you taking my drink?
Because we talked about this earlier.
Okay.
WWE. Very good job of making me transition my hatred from Roman Reigns to Brock Lesnar. Just like this. That was my segment of the night. Oh. They're doing such a good job of making you not boo Roman because you're too busy wondering, where the fuck is Brock Lesnar?
It's working.
It's fucking working. And that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago with Arnold. Arnold's like, dude, Lesnar's easy to hate. You need to show these people Lesnar's easy to hate. Vince McMahon, the guy that signs the fucking paychecks. You know what? Brock Lesnar probably doesn't like you humans. Like, how much more obvious does it have to be? You know what? Make this even better. You know, I want a stadium full of pissed off people. Have Brock no show Mania.
What?
Don't even give Roman the favor of dropping the belt to Roman 1, 2, 3. Just fucking no show it. The day of WrestleMania, be in Vegas in the octagon with Dana White. Announce your next fight, motherfucker. Don't go to Mania. Fuck Mania. Do you know how over Roman will get knowing that he...
That's not going to happen,
dude,
bro.
How pissed off will Roman be that he'll have to go through the rest of his wrestling career knowing that he could never beat Brock Lesnar because Lesnar never gave him the fucking time of day to do it? Dude, fucking do it!
That's not going to happen, man. Like, there's
do it!
Contract stuff, there's millions of dollars on the line. You can't... Like,
Brock will eat your babies.
Okay, storyline-wise... The kayfabe universe of WWE, okay, that would be a very interesting plot twist. But you can't pull that shit off because you gotta to be on the DVD. Brock would be leaving millions and millions and millions of dollars on the table and be in breach of contract. Nah, man, you can't.
Like, he's gonna be the first person that's never done that?
But he's not that stupid to leave that many millions of dollars on the table.
But is he going to come back? What's the point of WWE now if he's going to go to UFC and make all the money in 45 seconds?
Like, what if he loses? You could be in WWE and win and lose. It doesn't even fucking matter. You'll make your money. But like, if he goes to the UFC, he goes back to UFC and he CM Punk craps the bed. Bye-bye money.
He gets his money either way.
Sable's fucking expensive, man.
Oh, she don't look expensive anymore. Oh, God. That car's got some miles on it. It's probably why Brock upgraded the tractor.
Still purrs like a kitten.
I see you, WWE, you motherfuckers.
The women in the house are giving us looks.
I'm curious to see what Roman will or won't do next week since he's suspended.
Okay.
Temporarily.
Okay.
Give me a reason to care about Absolution right now.
The only reason why I would halfway care about Absolution is if they slowly start becoming more and more like Paige. If Mandy Rose becomes more of like a glam gothy person. And then like if Sonya is more like a, this like, I don't know, just kill you goth like person. I don't know. Like if they start getting more of the aesthetic like Paige and they're just like this, the Powerpuff Girls, except dark, the gothy Powerpuff Girls, or one is still bubbly, but she'll still kill you. The other one is she'll really kill you. And then there's the leader, you know?
I don't know if it's goth route, but I want them to absorb Paige to the point where they would do what Paige would do and they beat the shit out of her. Biggest hook from Absolution from day one was Paige's front and center. If she's not wrestling, there's very little to no interest for me in the team, the stable Absolution. Now, if you're going to have two girls that learn from this queen bitch of how to be a bitch, and they're a bitch so well that they're going to be a bitch to the bitch that taught them to be bitches, then, yeah, mathematically it works.
Okay.
So, like, just get to it already.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're telling me if you see the same thing more than once, it starts to get stale.
Yes.
So if I'm seeing a three-woman team on Raw and another three-woman team on SmackDown, I'm going to get tired of both of them.
Yes.
So you have to break one of them. And I think cohesively, the three are on the same level on the Riot Squad. At least with Absolution, Paige can't wrestle, dude.
I don't think. No. That's where you're wrong. The three, the Riot Squad, the three, they're on the same level. That's why you should break them up. Because a team should have like a definite leader who is the role of leader. And then the people that are kind of underneath, the ones that are being guided. On the Riot Squad, they're all kind of on the same level. I mean, yeah, sure, Ruby's the leader and it's
she's the better wrestler.
Yeah, she is. She's a better wrestler.
But that's why I think they need to stick around
Ruby. They're all unestablished, so to speak. Okay. So they all three of them have their futures in front of them. But you have a better team dynamic with Paige's team because Paige could be the veteran leader who has her henchwomen that she directs them how to go and what to do. And you never touch Paige. She doesn't get her hands dirty. She has her girls get her hands dirty for her. All the while trying to teach them what they need to be taught. I think there's a better dynamic there. So if you're going to break up anybody, you need to break up the Riot Squad.
Interesting.
Yeah. What were you saying? Where were you? Because you were going there.
No, that's it.
No, all right.
So how about Nia? Finally.
All right.
Babyface, already, dude, first impression, babyface Nia. What do you think?
I fucking love it. I've been waiting for a babyface Nia. I want to see what they could do with the babyface Nia because they've really dropped the ball on unstoppable monster heel Nia. I felt like that never really got traction. So if you go with the babyface, you have something there because unlike Bayley. Yeah, Bayley is super babyface, but she's kind of a little unrelatable if you're over 12. You need this strong every woman character. And you're
working class woman.
You don't have anybody. Somebody that all the ladies that are watching the show can relate to. And I think that can be her. She could fill a certain void there that they don't have. She could be, and I'm not drawing a 100% parallel here, but I'm saying that there's some similarities. She could be kind of like the Mankind, the Mick Foley of the ladies division, where, you know, you have all these big jacked up swole guys and like these real small fucking speedster guys. But then you have somebody.
The one like, guy that you look at and you know like, they don't belong.
I'm that guy. Like, if I heard ladies out there
who don't even wrestle, trust me, you look like him.
You know, there's a lot of ladies out there who would kind of really get and understand
the insecurities.
This insecurity storyline is, she's just big and this and that, and she can't do this.
She's different.
And like, but she's still beautiful. She's still strong. She's still competitive. She still learned her craft.
And she's threatening as fuck.
And she's threatening.
Especially if you cross it the wrong way, she'll botch you on purpose in the ring. She'll make sure you never wrestle again.
There's so much untapped sympathy as a character there that, man, you could just fucking drive that home and have everybody be like, I want to be like Nia because you know what? I'm already like Nia. And boom, just ride that. Fucking ride that. And it was great. And the way Alexa pulled off this bitchy high school cheerleader popular girl was perfect.
Yeah. Perfect. She's on the top of that pyramid.
She's
the one at the bottom.
She's not the bottom pyramid. She was a competitive cheerleader.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This is her being herself.
She knows how to play that very well. So, wow, it was played well, very well by both. Oh, man. I'm sure there was a lot of people who are out there saying that it wasn't a good segment because it wasn't PC because Alexa was being a bully. The people that are saying that, while I agree that you shouldn't be doing that, there also needs to be depictions of what you shouldn't do. And what Alexa was doing was a depiction of something you shouldn't do. That is the bad guy. And if the good guy gets their comeuppance, then it makes sense. It's like you shouldn't murder people. Okay, fine. What do all the bad guys in the fucking movies do? They kill somebody. They murdered this guy. They murdered this nut.
That's the antagonist. Yeah. You need an antagonist for the protagonist to come out looking.
Thing that's getting done so that when the good guy does it, you know that they're the good guy admonishing the bad guy doing the bad thing. So what Alexa was doing was being the bad girl doing the bad girl thing, and Nia is going to get the comeuppance and show, hey, be a star, don't bully people. Yeah, that bully can sometimes kick your ass.
And this is the same thing of people throwing their hands up in the air. Their culture. I was like, oh man, you shouldn't be saying stuff like that. He's like, bitch, they got you, motherfucker. This is an entertainment show. That's the character that they're supposed to play. Just because it's live in front of a studio audience of 18 fucking thousand people doesn't detract from the fact that this is still an entertainment show. And that's the character that's on this show. And if you hate them, guess what? They got your money, motherfucker. If not through merch, through ad revenue for their sponsors, you know, because that's exactly what they're supposed to do. So it, the be a star stuff and the bullying stuff, that's like behind the scenes. Like if you see Alexa in public and she's like kicking puppies, yeah, she's a bitch. But on TV, that's what she's supposed to be doing. Yeah. That's what makes her a bitch. So you have to remember that when you're watching, this is an episodic television show.
Yeah.
So we need to have characters like that. Can you help it if Alexa's really good at it? Maybe she's blurring lines, but that's part of the act, I guess.
Daniel in the live chat says this, and this seems kind of, I don't know, I'm going to bounce this off of you, see what you say. Nia versus ODB. Would you want to see that? I think that'd be an all right match, maybe. I think Randy was shaking her head no over there. Oh, shaking her head yes. She's shaking her head yes. Okay. I mean that obviously won't happen to WWE right now because they haven't signed ODB, and I don't think it would. She might be a little bit too past her prime.
I don't even think WWE would want that kind of character.
ODB?
Yeah. A woman that drinks.
Well,
I don't know, dude. I think Nia fits the bill enough that you don't need more people like Nia.
But on the indies, would you want to see that on the indies?
Of course. Okay. There's not an ODB match I don't want to see.
Okay. Porsche brings up a good point in the live chat sitting on the couch over there. Alexa and Nia are best friends. So they must have agreed on what could be said and can't be said. Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too, about this fucking wrestling show business, man. That's what this is. So they had to fucking somebody should have checked it off and said, you know what, this is okay. Let's go ahead and go with it. So if Nia was okay with it, Alexa was okay with it. You know, if you go to their Instagram, they are fucking best friends. Yeah. They fucking go everywhere together.
Next week. The Great War. Ultimate Deletion. Vanguard 1. The Lake of Reincarnation.
Strasgard.
Benjamin. Senor Benjamin.
No Brother Nero.
We'll get to that later. Ultimate Deletion.
Oh, yeah.
Thumbs up or thumbs down? on WWE's version of Ultimate Deletion so far on what you've seen on the on video?
So far, yes. Is this a case of too little, too late? Maybe. Because, you know, I said this last week. We kind of got a little snippet where we saw Senior Benjamin. We saw the compound. And then this past Monday, it was like, no, we're going to the compound. Here's Strasgard. Here's Vanguard 1. Here's, you know, King Maxwell. Here's the Wolfgang.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, shit, they're really going, they're going full bore with this. And then Bray Wyatt saying, no, it's a shame something would happen to your beautiful family.
Yeah.
That's great. These 2 weeks is what we should have done been getting for the last 2 months.
The month after WrestleMania last year. Well,
okay, technically, yes, that too. But I mean, like, when they finally decided, okay, we're going to go with Matt versus Bray. And we already had two Matt versus Bray matches, mind you.
Three. Matt. Raw 25, where Bray squashed Matt. And then the pay-per-view where Matt got
okay, yeah. You're right. Three. They should have done been doing this in earnest over the last 2 months. This is what I've been wanting. The weird ass shit involving all the other ancillary characters, and showing the compound and showing what the broken universe is all about. This is what we should have done been getting. These 2 weeks are enough for me to maybe forget about the last month and a half, and I'm willing to be there depending on how Ultimate Deletion goes.
Because if it's 7 minutes, it's going to be so wasteful. This needs to be at least – this is a fucking three-hour show, ladies and gentlemen. There needs to be at least one commercial break, maybe even two. I would actually – this should be like – this actually – if you're having a promo ending the show, then 30 minutes before it needs to be this. Not only that, you need to have snippets of Matt getting ready. You need to have snippets of Bray, like, walking down the side of the road, walking towards the compound. You need to build up to that shit. If you're just going to throw it off for 15 minutes in the middle of nowhere on the show without preparing us, that's.
Well,
but that's coming from a guy that, like you, we've seen how good it gets at TNA. We know the limits that this character can go. And the fact that they're actually going to act, they've showed us enough to give me the impression as a fan of the Impact version of Broken Matt.
Yeah,
so they have a lot to live up to.
Now, when you're talking about your time frames there, you got to temper that a little bit because you're thinking about total nonstop deletion, which is a whole goddamn episode of Impact, a whole 2 hours. So, okay.
Well, no, I'm talking about the matches, like Matt and Jeff, the Ultimate Deletion between the two, and then Jeff became Brother Nero.
Well, yeah, so, okay, Tag Team Apocalyptico. That was damn near a fucking hour.
Yeah.
You know, the first.
And wasn't it entertaining?
It was. It was entertaining as fuck. But if you only get 7 minutes, I'm not going to be that disappointed if it's done well. If you get good quality over quantity. I know.
You're gonna throw that back at me.
I know. I am. It really, really fucking depends. Now, if they don't introduce something new, I'm going to be a little disappointed. Because while I love Senior Benjamin, and I love Vanguard 1, and I love King Maxwell and all that, while I love all these other things that I've been waiting for, what I'm really, really waiting for
is the evolution,
which I thought they had with the fucking goldfish. Mm-hmm. I want to see the goldfish again. Okay? I want to see the goldfish again because that was something uniquely woken, Matt. Not broken, Matt. That was uniquely woken. And if we could get something else that's uniquely woken, Matt, something new, because every time that we saw something different from the Hardy compound, from, you know, Final Deletion to Total Nonstop Deletion to Tag Team Apocalyptico, something new fucking happened. You know, so
training the box with a kangaroo.
Yeah.
Or the spot, that really happened.
The spot monkeys with the Jeff and I don't know, what were they? Nick and Matt.
Yeah.
You know, they're the spot monkeys. Like, come on, man.
Cherry pickers, y'all. Cherry pickers.
Cherry pickers. Like, you gotta throw in wrinkles to add more to the fucking absurdity of this all. You know, and that's what I'm really hoping for next week. Now, I want to address something about that, though. A lot of people online are saying that, why the fuck is this on Raw and not at Mania? I'm okay with it because of two reasons. The first reason is this leads you to do something even weirder and crazier at Mania. The second reason is, while I'm not going, I'm not going to be in New Orleans, but somebody in this household is going to New Orleans. And, well, okay, two people in this household currently are going to New Orleans. I'm going to have a little bit of empathy for my wrestling brothers and sisters. If you're going all the way to New Orleans and you got to sit there and look at the video screen while something happens not in New Orleans, that's going to suck big donkey dicks.
Even if the rematch is in like the Bray Wyatt compound down the street in the river of Louisiana, that's still not going to cut it.
Yeah.
They need to be in ring action. If you're going to fucking stitch me to the seat for 7 fucking hours, there better be 7 fucking hours worth of shit in front of me in the ring, not on the telly.
Yeah. All right. Now here, you know, we had some activity here in the live chat too about that. Bray throwing Bray only if, God damn it. I need to turn it into that. Okay. I'm sucking at this. Yeah. Evolution's a mystery. There was something in here that I guess must have passed away that I wanted or passed further up that I can't see. Oh, Bray channeling Sister Abigail during this match. Are we going to see that? Is that going to become? Oh,
he comes out of the lake of reincarnation
as Sister Abigail. Ah, that'd be great.
All that shit's pre-taped, so they can actually make a good little WWE Studios movie out of this.
Yeah, that was Juan. There you go. Juan said Sister Abigail should make a cameo. There you go. I don't know if anybody else said that him coming out of the lake here.
So
Bo Dallas should make an appearance.
Oh, like, so let's transition into the news because we can't talk about Matt without bringing up Jeff.
Okay.
Good Lord, bro. Like, really?
Yeah.
As you sip the water that you don't want to drink.
Yep. Fitting.
Jeff gets busted again, driving while impaired over the weekend. In Cameron, North Carolina.
BAC of 0.25, I believe.
Holy shit. I think 0.04 is the limit here in Texas.
0.08.
He's at 2, not 1. 2 point something or other.
So 8 times 3 is 24, and he was at 0.2. The limit in Texas. I don't know if other states have different limits, but we're Houston. That's a lot of booze.
Assuming it was just booze. Because he had to have been on something else to possess him to get on the road with all that in it.
Well, the BAC just detects alcohol. But, I mean, there could have been other stuff in the system. But that number is just the alcohol. So, man, that sucks, man.
You would think you've been gone for over 10 years from the company that made you. You're finally back in the company that's willing to bring you back with open arms. And you still can't learn the lessons from your past.
Mm-hmm. Okay, poor sitting on the couch says, in North Carolina, it is illegal to drive a vehicle while noticeably impaired or with an alcohol concentration of 0.08 or higher, while driving a commercial motor vehicle is 0.04. So commercial vehicle is 0.04. Okay. Well, then that's really, really higher than, but it was a commercial vehicle. It was his home.
So if you're going smaller, can you have a higher limit? So, like, if he was on a moped, can you do 1.5? Because who the hell are you going to hurt if you're driving drunk on a moped?
Yourself?
Yeah, but you already got 2.5 in your body. You done did that before you got on the goddamn bike.
And you ain't going to feel a thing.
And you're going to feel nothing. Yeah, you get some bouncing around something like Zoe Bell. Like, hey, I'm fine.
Yeah, man, I don't know, dude. It sucks, especially for Matt, because Matt's fixing to do presumably some awesome stuff on the grandest stage with the best character he's ever had. And some of that is dependent on Jeff because brother Nero, you know, that kind of hurts Matt, you know, and I'm sure Matt's not happy about it.
The easy thing. The work of Jeff crawling, walking out of the lake of reincarnation, a clean man. And hopefully he sticks to it. My God, good Lord. This is probably
that's if they're going to bring him back and employ him again. You know, I mean,
well, he's suspended. He didn't get let go.
That's true.
You know, I mean, I'm guessing the three strikes gets refreshed when you come back anew from the company because he was on 2 before he left.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe there's some sort of statute of limitations on there. Like if you're gone for X amount of years, it resets or something.
How would you feel about watching a 2-hour episode of Monday Night Raw live on network television Fox.
Okay, I'll watch it on any channel that it's on. The only reason why I have fucking cable is because of wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Like, it used to be because of wrestling and Walking Dead. But I've missed the last three episodes of Walking Dead, and I'm not boo-hooing over it.
You have DVR. You can catch up to that later.
I mean, I could. I mean, I have it saved on my DVR, but I'm in no hurry to watch it because I just don't feel the unction to do it. Mm-hmm. But, if it wasn't for wrestling, I would have mentioned to the girls a long time ago, hey, let's get rid of the fucking cable and just and just go off of Netflix and Sling. Hulu and shit, and that's it. Well, apparently that's not going to go over well in this house. But
I just heard one voice. There's three people.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's not majority.
But what's stopping me from saying that is wrestling. If all the wrestling that I want to watch was on network TV, then yeah, sure, fuck it, why not? I'll save myself a couple of dollars if I can.
A couple of dollars.
Convince certain people. Why do you say that? Is this a thing? Could this
Fox
happen?
Is really eyeballing WWE. Their contract with USA with Viacom is about ready to be negotiated, and if they can get more ad revenue out of Fox. Fox already is going to have a show that's guaranteed at least 2.5 rating every Monday consistently, even with football competition. So if you bring it on network television, where, again, a lot of people still don't have cable. I don't have cable. And I'm on this fucking podcast. I don't have cable.
Yeah.
So imagine the ratings every week live on Fox. Fox promotes their shit like to death.
Yeah,
the first time UFC was on Fox with Cain Velasquez because of Junior Dos Santos, man, that was every on the hour. It's like, hey, you want to see a Mexicans beat each other up? Saturday, live, UFC on Fox.
And then they wait.
Ya la mecha, wey. Damn, dude. So, shit, if the ad revenue's there, I wouldn't be surprised WWE jumps. But, yeah, just stuff floating around. How about, speaking of floating around, your Impact champion showing up on Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
What? This happened?
Austin Aries. Oh. Austin Aries has more than one heavyweight title belt, mind you. But most relevant is because right now he's champion of Impact.
Okay.
He showed up on Ring of Honor pay-per-view after Kenny King's television title match. So apparently Austin's trying to – how Austin has his own expedition of gold.
Ooh, an expedition.
Yeah.
Okay.
And with Supercard of Honor happening also on WrestleMania weekend, Impact versus Lucha Underground happening that Friday at WrestleCon, there could be a possibility we see Austin Aries Saturday night at Supercard.
Porsche, was it you that was telling me the main event for Lucha Underground versus Impact?
I don't know if it's the main event.
It's not Sami Callihan versus Eddie Edwards.
Main event.
They booked that. Yeah, I think the main event is Johnny Mundo against Johnny Impact. Mirror match. Fight. Nega Johnny.
Nega Johnny. Wait, which one would be Nega Johnny?
Nega with an E. Don't be racist.
I know. That's
shit, man. Thumbs up or thumbs down on the NXT North American title?
I don't know. It depends. The UK title has not really been that much of a smash hit. The few UK title championship matches that have been out there have all been fucking gold. But there's not really a division, and there's not really a show, and they just kind of have matches whenever they
They're
want.
They're indecisive of what the fuck they want to do with the UK title. It was supposed to be a show in the UK specifically for the network, and then
Bupkis.
After the tournament, which was fucking bananas.
Yep.
Nothing.
Bupkis.
Couple of gold, couple of diamonds in the rough here and there would take over and pay-per-views, but then
Bupkis.
There you go. I think my biggest flaw is the labeling. NXT's never been territorial. You know, so why the fuck would NXT want a North America? They don't. NXT is not a world heavyweight championship. It's just an NXT men's championship. Just like the NXT Women's Championship.
Yeah.
I mean, why don't – I was floating the idea around of having the WWE Network title where you have an NXT guy that would actually defend that title on a Raw pay-per-view or a SmackDown pay-per-view. Well, now all of them are now combined. They're all pay-per-view. So every other pay-per-view, hey, you get the network champion. Didn't Zack Ryder wanted to do this with the internet title?
The internet title. But fuck,
hey, you're on that route because NXT is not territorialized. That and that's dated, bro. I can appreciate that as a fan of like Four Horsemen, Ric Flair, old school NWA shit. But people watching now aren't going to understand the concept of a North American title. I mean,
you already have the United States title. Yeah. You're just going to include two more countries and call it the North American title?
You just mentioned it. You already have a territorial title that you're doing nothing with. Just put the UK title on NXT. Dude, fucking kill 205 Live and just put both divisions on NXT. You already have your NXT world, your NXT champion, men's champion, women's champion, your tag champion, UK champion, and your flippy dippies. That's a fucking third brand, bro.
Yeah. Daniel, I agree with you. Daniel has my point said for me in the live chat. He says this. He puts thumbs down. Already too many titles in WWE. There's an oversaturation of titles. That's it. You hit the nail right on the head. There's too many goddamn titles. You got the UK title you're not doing anything with. You got the Cruiserweight title, which you are doing stuff with now, but you weren't months past. And even if you have a very successful tournament here with this, are you going to put them at the main card of Mania? And even after Mania, what the fuck are you going to do? You know, like, man, and like the NXT title, that's respected. But is it more respected than the US title? Maybe, maybe not. Depends who you ask. Is it more respected than an Intercontinental title? Probably not, but it depends who you ask because it's the main title of a brand, whereas the Intercontinental title is not. But goddamn, you got so many titles. And it's like, what's the hierarchy? Because I remember back in the day, way back, I mean, not way, way back, but back enough, you had the WWE title, which was the number one. You had the Intercontinental title. Means you're number two in the company. It means you're getting groomed to be the number one. And then you had the tag, because tag is just a different animal altogether.
And then women.
And then women, which...
Certain times.
Certain times. You know, if you were Moolah, you know, defended it once every blue moon. but it was simple. You didn't have two different brands. Each brand had its own. One of them is bigger than the other because one was Universal while the other was World, and the Universal you never see because this is a part-timer title. And like, man, it's just too much, man. It's too much. But again, I'm saying it depends. It depends if they give this title its shine, if they do something with it, if they build story around it, if they put importance on it.
Cien Almas is the first champion.
Cien's had a pretty good run. And it could be a Mexican. Because it's North American. North America is Mexico, United States, Canada. Why not? But still, it really depends how
sometimes well you Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico is part of North America. It depends how you handle it. Yeah. It depends how you handle it. Because, I mean, the UK title, who cares? They have badass fucking matches. The title holders are kind of holding on to that promise that I guess executives told them that, hey, we're going to make big shit out of you. And they're like, oh, man, well, I'm going to do my best, which as workers you should do. Whatever it is creative gives you, you got to, like, do it, turn it up to 11. So good job on the wrestlers. Bad job on booking and creative and whatever when it comes to the UK title. They fucking dropped the ball.
Mix Max Challenge 205 Live and NXT.
Yeah.
Is there anything worth talking about from those three shows last week?
205 Live, Cedric Alexander. I only caught the very, very, very tail end of it. I got to see Cedric Alexander win. I saw the 1, 2, 3, boom. I'm like, okay, cool. I need to go back and rewatch it. I had it because I didn't get a chance to. I was busy today. Did you watch it? No. Porsche, how good was that match?
I would consider it match of the week candidate.
Match of the week candidate. Okay, there you go.
Actually, that would be the match of the week for me.
That's her match of the week pick. Cedric Alexander versus
Roderick Strong.
Roderick Strong. Yeah. Good old Roddy.
There's spoilers alert out there if you want to find out why Roddy really lost that match. And we'll leave it at that.
That's a spoiler?
We'll leave it at that. Yeah.
Okay.
Y'all saw last week's episode of NXT. Did Ricochet debut? Or is that tonight?
I don't know.
Okay. Because he's supposed to be wrestling soon. I know he already had a match taped somewhere.
Oh,
so waiting for it.
Oh, well, I don't know.
I think mixed match challenge kind of lost me a little bit.
Really? I haven't seen the last like two or three.
I've been trying to keep up with it, man. And Rusev and Lana were funny. The Robe Warriors with Bobby Roode and Charlotte. But
Robe Warriors.
Yeah. And the commentary is actually implying that Charlotte might have a crush on Bobby.
Yeah. Yeah. I picked that up on last week's SmackDown. Not this past week. Last week. She was out there and out came Bobby Roode and she got all googly-eyed at him.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, mixed match apparently is supposed to end the week of Mania.
It's because Robert Roode reminds her of her daddy.
I thought you were going to say all that facial hair reminds her of Bram.
Oh.
Too soon? Oops.
That's fucking terrible.
Doe. Is that it? Can we call it a night? I think we've got all our bases covered. All
right. This past weekend we had awesome show at DCW.
I would just pop up behind you on the commentary desk. I have no allegiance to any of these corporations that you've been working with.
Okay.
So I don't care if I get thrown out. I'll just come right behind you like fucking like Brian Pillman on Bobby Heenan. Just go like that.
The match was great. It wound up being
the triple threat for Super Duper and Silky something, and then Chocolate Boy.
Yeah, yeah. It was a triple. A four way.
Oh shit! They added somebody.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Duperon hit his head again.
No. So it was Duperon versus Hambone versus Silky Veins versus Luther Black. Excuse me.
This was supposed to be the finale of the whole three of them. Is this still the finale of the three of them, or is this as the world turns? Are we going to get this for another?
Well, we're going to see, because Duperon won the fucking belt. God damn it, Duperon.
Is he wearing it on his head like the Mohawk?
No, but what?
Oh, he should. No, he better.
What he's doing is he's wearing it upside down. In disrespect. He says...
He's an angry bird.
He says it's because now DZW's in distress. But I just see it as disrespect to our belt. But whatever, he's got it. Let him have his day in the sun. But you know what? Ill-gotten gains will come back and bite him in the ass. Because the way he got to that belt by just stabbing out everyone in the back, turning his back on everybody in the locker room is just fucking despicable. The match was amazingly awesome. Four-way match. Everyone out there was just doing all kinds of fucking crazy big high spots. We had Luther go through Duperon from the top down through the table set up on the outside. That was fucking sick. We had Hambone taking a lot of big hits from pie pans that he brought out to the ring, and he wound up bleeding a little bit. Oh man, it was just a brutal, brutal matchup. Hopefully, we could get that on YouTube here pretty soon. Myself and our my partner Tommy, we pulled the commentary on it, and I think we did really great. So please, if you can get a chance, once we get that up there, keep your eye open. I'll share it on my Facebook page as well as the DZW Facebook page. Try to get that out as soon as we can. We're not sure when we're going to get it out. That's a whole other story. That's behind the scenes stuff.
JoJo.
Yeah, I'm not sure when. That's all I'm saying. But, if you can make it out to our next show, which will be the 24th of this month, Saturday the 24th.
That's next Saturday.
Yeah, not this Saturday coming up, the following Saturday.
So I can't help you till next month.
Right.
Because next Saturday, I will be in L.A. for Strong Style Evolved.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're not going to L.A., come on out to Katy, Texas. Yeah. To Olympus Arena, 1812 Avenue D in Katy, Texas.
That's D for donut.
Thank you, Chris. Yes, D for donut. Now I think I'm gonna hit you with a blast from the past here.
Oh shit.
Do you remember Max?
Max.
Max.
Headroom?
Headroom.
Okay.
No, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Max, who
Wrestling with Subtitles.
Yes!
Yeah! I'm not as old as I feel.
Yeah, yeah. Max, you know, that's how we know him. In the early days when he was first getting on social media, trying to get his Wrestling with Subtitles project off of the ground, that was around the same time we started getting Houston Wrestling Radio off the ground, and we hooked up with each other digitally.
One of us succeeded.
Yes, one of us succeeded.
So tell us how Max succeeded.
Well, okay, Max's whole thing was that he wanted to get subtitles on a wrestling product at the time, about like 5 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. TNA and WWE did not have subtitles on their DVDs. Since he, you know, talked to a bunch of people, got petitions, got this and that, all that got in contact with TNA and WWE. WWE then started putting subtitles on their stuff. And on the network has surprisingly good subtitles sometimes, which if you try to watch live TV or YouTube, it's fucking terrible. Yeah. But on the network, they actually did a good job. And I would like to think that some of that is
as if it was a scripted show.
Yeah. I would like to think some of that is in part to Max and his efforts with the Wrestling with Subtitles thing. But since that was a successful campaign, Max has had some time
now on his hands. Now he's wrestling with sign language?
He's just wrestling.
What?
His name now is Max Health. That's his in-ring name. He is a wrestler up there in up there in Seattle. That's where he's from. And
nice.
He is hooked up with a wrestling organization.
Max Health.
Yes. He's hooked up with a local indie wrestling organization up there in Seattle called 123 Battle.
Everybody's heard of 123 Battle.
Of course. Well, the reason why us here in Houston are talking about something in Seattle is because not only is he a buddy of ours, but you can still watch it because they're going live on Twitch. So if you want to tune in and support our boy, who should in kind be your boy, Max Health, go on to Twitch. I'll give you the information here. It's Twitch.
Is his finisher the protein bar?
I'm not sure.
Oh, it's shit. Twitch. I need to give this guy ideas.
Twitch.tv/321battle. I said it was 123. No, it's 321battle. I fucked that up. 321 countdown. You go down.
Dude, he could show up at Kaiju Big Battle dressed up as a protein bar. Make it happen.
And line for that is a guy named Cat Power versus Daniel Makabe. So
it's Japanese. It's Makabe.
Makabe. Okay. And the main event is for the Solid Steel Championship. Dude, I want to see what the fuck is up with this promotion. They're calling their stuff the Solid Steel?
This isn't even like Pittsburgh.
I don't know.
Pittsburgh's the Steel City. I would understand that Seattle.
Maybe they just couldn't afford a gold belt and they're just owning that shit. They're like, hey, it's Solid Steel. You know, I mean, it's possible. You don't know what's going on up there.
It's Seattle. Yeah. They should call it like the coffee bean title or something.
Max, I just wanted to show you some love, give you a shout out. Hopefully some people will tune in. Let's see, what was the date on
here? I'm just giving you a hard time so I could be a valet when I go to Seattle.
The date is, you're going to like this. The date is 420. April 20th at 9 p.m. Pacific time. What would that be, standard or central? Central would be 9-7.
No, 9 is Pacific, so 9, 10, 11.
11.
11 our time, 12 New York time.
God damn, it's starting at 9 over there.
You know
there.
Why? Because that's when the Jack's Munchie meal starts going on sale. Boy, give me the tacos.
Yeah, so on 420, at 11 o'clock our time here in Houston.
No prescription required.
9 o'clock their time over on the West Coast.
Yeah. Or subscription. Yes, subscription, yes. Prescription.
Twitch.tv/321battles. Please check it out. We also have a date for WrestleFawn. WrestleFawn this year is going to be May 18th, 19th, and 20th. Do you remember WrestleFawn? Do you remember that?
Is that the promotion where you're doing ringside work in like some shack with no air conditioning?
No, fool. This is...
Oh, that's a charity for the video game.
Yes.
Yeah.
The live stream on Twitch. Twitch.tv/WrestleFawn. THON.
This is fourth, right?
Fourth?
Yeah.
Fifth? I don't know. Fourth or fifth year that they're doing this. This is headlined by my friend Jake. What it is...
From State Farm.
Yes, it is a live stream where we're playing wrestling video games for an entire weekend. During that time, we are taking donations and what have you to go towards a charitable organization called Child's Play Charity. Child's Play buys video games and toys
and
stuff.
And toys for kids in hospitals.
For kids in hospitals or for the hospital itself, for the children's hospital, so that the kids can have stuff to do if they're there for extended periods of stay. So this is a multiple time that we've been involved with this. Or I've been involved with it. I don't know if you're going to
try to volunteer. I've popped in a couple of times, got my ass whipped a couple times.
You've got some chops before.
Chops for charity. Yes, yeah.
Yes.
That's so, why they're yeah, even.
Mark that on your calendars. If you want to volunteer, we need volunteers. Let us know, and we'll get you in contact with Jake and the Russellthon people.
If you don't want to volunteer, but you still want to be a part of it, there's two ways. You can either donate money live on the air, or you can send them food.
Yes.
3 days live, nonstop. The one thing that's more scarce than sleep is food.
And you can't sleep for me, so you, but you could feed.
Donuts in the world.
Yes. Wow. So yeah, that's the kind of stuff we need.
Yeah.
I'm sure that we'll get more info as it comes.
Sexy closer. Aprons optional. Yeah. Hey.
We also try to do like giveaways and stuff. So
yeah. An autographed picture of Abel. That went over like a fine church. But they usually have, was it last year we had 2K? 2K donated some copies of WWE 2K for us to give away while they were streaming.
Yeah, WWE 2K themselves, the 2K video game company themselves were kind of involved with it and donated some copies of WWE 2K to give
away. And other charitable companies and businesses that donated food, donated giveaways, donated to help the cause.
Yeah.
So, this is going to be fun.
All right.
Hopefully I'll play.
Yeah. In this household, there's a guy who works for one wrestling company over at KDDCW. But also in this household, there's somebody else that works for a different wrestling company in the greater Houston area. Porsche, when is the next ROW?
Saturday, March
17th,
St. Patrick's Day.
On St. Patty's Day.
Saturday. Oh.
This Saturday, ROW down in Texas City. Do you know what the main event is?
I know there's going to be a best of five between Aiden Christiano versus Mysterious Q. Rex Andrew returns from Japan.
There's going to be a best of five between Mysterious Q and who did you say?
Aiden Christiano.
So that means you're going to have all five matches in one night?
No, fool! That's match one.
It's match one of the best of five?
Best of five. You got gotcha. How these work?
I didn't know if this was already the fifth or what. I don't know.
No.
I try to go when I can. I'm busy with DZW. Anything else? Shit.
Heavenly Bodies.
Oh, the Heavenly Bodies are coming back.
Yeah.
Yay. All the way from New York.
Jersey.
Close enough.
New York? How do you pronounce that? Because it's not New York. It's Newark.
Newark, New Jersey. Yeah. I flew out there that one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did that become a thing?
What?
Did they just like accidentally
name Newark that is part? Newark is like 15 minutes and a tunnel away from New York City.
And they just said, oh,
it's cheaper to go to Newark than to go to New York City.
All right. I guess that's it.
That's a show.
All right. Thank you. Adios, my friends. Keep it.